We're beginning a new Masechta, Masechta Sukkah. The subject of the Masechta, of course, is the mitzvah of Sukkah. So the Aruch HaNer summarizes it as follows. The Meiri first summarizes and says, basically, you have the three things it talks about are Sukkah, Lulav and Sukkah, which is the first two prakim, Lulav and Esrig, which is the third perek, and the Simcha and every Rava and everything in the Bais Mikdash, which is the last two prakim. The Aruch HaNer divides it a little more finely. He says there's a medrash that refers to seven mitzvahs of Sukkot, Sheva Bayim Hilalti, or Soiva Smachas is Panecha, rather, Altipi Soiva Ala Sheva. And so you have, if you break it down, you have the building of the Sukkah, which is the subject of the first perek, sitting in the Sukkah, which is the second, Lulav and Esrog is the third perek, the Arava in the Bais Mikdash, which is the first half of the fourth perek, Nisuch HaMayim in the Bais Mikdash, which is the second half of that perek, the Simcha Space of She'eva, the Simcha in general, the Simcha of Yom Tov, and the Korbanos of Yom Tov. Those are the last two, and those take up the last perek. An interesting point the Aruch HaNer asks, actually a couple of Achronim ask, is why do we put the mitzvah of Sukkah first? Why not Lulav and Esrog first? In fact, in the Pesukim, it first talks about Lulav and Esrog, only then does it talk about Pesukas Teish Rishivas Yomim. So the Aruch HaNer gives an answer because he says, when you think about it, the Sukkah has to be, first of all, we're starting with the dinim of building the Sukkah, necessarily that's done before Yom Tov. As opposed to Lulav and Esrog, we're going to talk about later in the Masechta, technically they don't have to be bound together. So there's nothing really of them that needs to be done, per se, before Yom Tov. And then, of course, also, even when it comes to actually doing the mitzvah of Sukkah, you start by night, whereas Lulav and Esrog, you only begin the next morning, therefore Sukkah comes first.
Why do we leave the Korbanos last?
What's that?
Why do we leave the Korbanos last? Why don't we talk about the Korbanos first?
Because they're not applicable nowadays. The Pashas, because the Korbanos are not applicable nowadays, so therefore they just put them in at the end. First we're going to talk about the mitzvahs. Good morning, Ellie. First, we're going to talk about the mitzvahs of Sukkot that apply in all times, and then we're going to talk about the ones that are specific to the Bais Mikdash.
Yes, but in the time of the Mishnah, they were.
No, first of all, the Mishnah, as Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi gave it to us, is after the Korban. But even during the time of the Bais Mikdash, the fact is, these are mitzvahs that apply only in one particular place in the Bais Mikdash, and these are mitzvahs that apply else, that apply everywhere. So therefore, it's appropriate to put them first. There is also the point, there is the idea that there's a connection between Yom Kippur, which we just finished learning about, and Sukkah. So it brings that the Sukkah we're going to talk about, it represents the Anania covered, and the Onan we had by Yom Kippur, where there's a cloud of smoke that comes from the Tertus. So the smoke results in, that brings us to the Schach of Sukkah. So therefore, there's a direct connection between them. On a more balabatish level, the Rambam explains that Sukkah comes after Yom Kippur because that's the order of the Yom Tovim. After Yom Kippur comes Sukkah. So, beginning the Mishnah, it says, Sukkah shi gvoi l'maylam esrimama, a Sukkah which is taller than 20 amas, psula, is possible. As we're going to explain in the Gemara a few reasons why, Rabbi Yehuda machshir, Rabbi Yehuda says it's kosher. Now, Rashi says the Gemara is going to explain their machloikas. The Gemara actually doesn't say in so many words why Rabbi Yehuda holds that it can be higher than 20 amas. But we're going to have, so one possibility is we're going to have three reasons given why the Chachamim say it's possible, and then from that we can understand that Rabbi Yehuda would explain, as each of the Amoraim does, why the reason might not be applicable. Or the other possibility is the last opinion is going to be that the reason is because the Sukkah has to be Diras Arai, a temporary dwelling, and Rabbi Yehuda holds, which we find in several places in the Masechta, that he holds that Sukkah can be Diras Kevai, that can be a permanent dwelling. In fact, we even have some Rishonim who learn Rabbi Yehuda to be saying it must be a permanent dwelling. In any case, so therefore, so Rabbi Yehuda says it's kosher. Continues the Mishnah, v'she'ena gvoya asara tfachim, furthermore, if the Sukkah is not 10 tfachim tall, v'she'en l'shloisher, sholish really, grammatically it's supposed to be, v'she'en l'sholish tfanis, if it doesn't have at least three walls, which we'll see in the Gemara about the whole 2.5 walls thing, we'll get into that on Daf Vav, v'she'chamasim merubim mitzilasa, or if the sun in it is more than the shade, in all those cases, psula. Now those Rabbi Yehuda agrees with, though even though the 20 amos were saying Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with, but the other points about the 10 tfachim and the three walls and chamos and merubim mitzilasa, Rabbi Yehuda would agree with those. The chamos and merubim mitzilasa, Rashi explains, the idea is because then the little amount of shade is bottle. The sukkah is only called a sukkah because of the schach. So if there's not enough schach to provide a majority of shade, or half shade, as we're going to say in the Gemara, eventually, then it's not, then it can't really be considered a sukkah at all. The name sukkah after the schach doesn't really fit it. Okay. So the Gemara says, Tnan Hossam. The Gemara first is bothered by why the expression psula. Now, on the face of it, we know that there are two rules that we have. There's a rule the Gemara tells us at the beginning of Psachim that a person should use Loshen, that a person should teach Loshen Ketzara in a short way. That way, the Talmud is more likely to remember it, especially back when the Mishnayos were by heart. But in addition, there's also an idea that a person should use Loshen Nekiya, that a person should use clean language. So other things being equal, rather than saying Psula, it would be better to say some other way. So the Gemara asks, Tnan Hossam. So we learn in a mission at the beginning of Erevin, a Mavui which is taller than 20 Amma. Now we know, as Rashi describes over here briefly, a Mavui is a side street. It's closed in on three sides, it's open on the fourth. You actually have something called a Mavui Mefulash, which is a through street, but we're not dealing with that over here right now. We're talking about the kind that's a dead end. It's closed in by the, what you have is in those times, the arrangement was you had a bunch of houses open into one chatzer, and a bunch of chatzeres, which are surrounded by walls, open up into a Mavui. So the Mavui is surrounded on two, or in this case, three sides by the walls of the various chatzeres that open into it, where there's entryways opening into it. Everybody goes in and out through the Mavui. So now the open end of the Mavui faces towards Rosh Hashanah. So midrabanan, so midaraisa, you'd be able to carry in such a place without anything further. Midrabanan, you need something at the end of the mavui in order to make it allowed to carry in there. One possibility is you put up a koira, a horizontal beam running across the open end of the mavui, and that makes it that now you're allowed to carry in that mavui. And Erevin, the Gemara discusses, is it that functions sort of as a mechitza, like we consider as though the edges of it were pulled downward to form a wall, or is it that it's because of a heker that people should look at it and remember that you're not allowed to carry from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to Rosh Hashanah Abim. Whatever the case, the point you also need, Rashi points out over here, you also need Shittuch Mavoyas, where everybody pulls some food together. Anyway, the point is, the Mishnah starts by saying over there that if the Koira above the Mavoy is more than 20 Amos off the ground, then that's no good. And the Mishnah says, you have to reduce the height of it. You have to bring it down. Rabbi Huda Omer ain't tzarich, and Rabbi Huda says that's not necessary. Just like in our Mishnah, he says that a sukkah can be taller than 20 amos. So there he says that the koira on the mavui can be higher than 20 amos. So there's a third din, by the way, that also you have a 20 amma limit, namely the menorah during Hanukkah. Anyway, so the question is, Maishna gami sukkah, the toni psula, or Maishna gami mavui, the toni takanta? Why is it over here by sukkah? The Mishnah says it's posel. Now, the Mishnah, on the face of it, could have said, also, you might. That would have been a nicer way of saying than posel, and it would tell us what to do. You have to reduce the height of it. You have to bring it down less than 20 amas. So why instead does it say psula? Umayshna gami mavri detani takanta. Why instead by the mavri does it say what to do? It doesn't say psula, it says you might. So why are we being inconsistent? An interesting side point that comes from that, by the way, is since the Gemara is assuming that the Mishnah could have used the word yamayit. Now, what does it mean yamayit with a sach? If it means to actually take it down and put it back up, then that's not really yamayit, that's moving it. So one possibility is that it could mean, for example, now the Gemara explains in Erevin that when we say a sukkah can't be taller than 20 amos, it means that the empty space from the ground until the bottom of the sach cannot be more than 20 amos. If it's exactly 20 amos, even though the schach itself is lying higher than 20 amos, it's fine. So one possibility of yamayit can include that you put in more schach underneath the existing schach, and that way you have 20 amos exactly between the floor and the bottom of the schach or less, and it'll be kosher. Now, on the face of it, if the schach that was there is posel, then how can you make it kosher? We're going to learn throughout the parak the concept of tas of alaymina osui, that you can't have something which was posel, and then you do a side thing to make it kosher. We see that this is not a problem. Therefore, based on this, Maharam Rutenberg learns, and the Ramah brings accordingly in Shulchan Aruch, that in the same vein, now we're going to talk about later in the Masechta, let's say, for example, you took branches that are attached to a tree and made them part of your schach. Then if you want to cut them, then when you cut them off to make them kosher schach, you have to move them, otherwise it's tassav alevin osu. But when the psul is not in the schach itself, but rather in a side thing, in this case, in the height. Or another example would be, let's say, what if you put your schach on your sukkah? Let's say some people have a retractable roof or a schlock or something on top of their sukkah. What if you put up the schach with that up and then you open that up? Would it be kosher? Based on this, yes, it would, because there's no psul in the actual schach. The psul is in that there was something else above it. In this case, schach above 20 amos, in that case, the roof or whatever, and therefore such a thing is kosher. Okay, so back to the Gemara then. So you can also fill in the ground. No, that might be taxable. I'm going to also, but yeah, actually, no, I take that back. The Gemara on Daf Dalet is going to tell us that indeed you can do that. You could fill in the ground as well. Yeah, you can't fill it with pillows. The Gemara is going to say because those are not bottle, but you could fill it. Yeah, okay, you could fill it with dirt. Yeah, okay. So again, back to the Gemara. The question is, why are we being inconsistent that here we're saying psula rather than there we're saying yamai? So the answer is. The answer is sukkah daraisa toni psula, because the sukkah is daraisa. Therefore, it makes sense to use the word psula. So Rashi says, in other words, because you have independent, before the Mishnah was already said, you have halacha l'moshe v'sinai about the height of the sukkah, and therefore we can say that this a sukkah higher than 20 amos does not fit that criteria, therefore it's possible according to the criteria we already know. As opposed to, Mavui Dirabbanan Tani Takanta. As opposed to the Mavui is only Dirabbanan, therefore you can't really say Psula. What do you mean Psula? Who said that you need a Koda in the first place? First we've got to explain the underlying fact that you need a Koda. Once we explain that, then you can talk about what's possible or not. So therefore, better to say you might. Tosfos learned differently. Tosfos learned the vote is rather by sukkah, since it's daraisa, if we use the word yamayit, you might misunderstand that it means you should make it lower, but if you didn't, it's still kosher b'dieved. Therefore, instead, it wants to say the word psula to make it clear that it's actually possible. As opposed to mabed d'rabbanan, worse comes to worse, you didn't bring it lower. Okay, you were over on something d'rabbanan, but at least you're not over on an isur daraisa. Okay, that's one answer. The Iboisim of Daraisa Nami Tani Takanta. Another possibility is in things Daraisa also, it could have said a Takana. It could have said Yamayit. Mihu, but the reason why the Mishnah didn't do that is because Sukkah Dinafishi Milsa. Sukkah, you have a lot of details about it. Or Dinafishi Mile, really. It has a Milsa, which just means, Milsa is what is Milsa and Mile, I don't know, the Mile is Lashon Zachar. I don't know, sukkah on the face of it is lush in the cave, but anyway, sukkah, there's a lot of details in our Mishnah. Namely, you don't just have the Lamaila Masimama, you also have the Lamata Masara Tvachik. You also have not having Sholish Tvanas. You also have the Chamos Merub Mitzilasa. So you have a lot of details in the one Mishnah. If it was going to say a Takona for each one of them, then you'd have a very long Mishnah. You'd be violating the rule of Yishana Adam Hamidu Derech Tzara. You'd have to say by each one of them, Lamaila Masimama Yamai. And then Shalosh Tvanis build another dolphin, etc., etc. So therefore, so instead, Posik, the Tani Psula, good morning. So therefore, it just cuts it off. It just says flat out it's Posul without getting into that level of detail. Mavui, Deloy Nafish Mile, as opposed to the Mavui, in that one Mishnah, at the first Mishnah of Erevin, it doesn't have a lot of detail. It just has the one fact that a Mavui, that the code on a Mavui can't be above 20 amos. Therefore, Tani Takanta, therefore it can use the word Yamayit, it can use the Takana instead, and that keeps things shorter. Again, Lo'olam Yishana, so not only it's shorter, but also it's Lashon Nekiya. It's using a nicer way rather than having to say Psula. Okay, so those are the reasons why we're being inconsistent. Okay, now that we talked about that, let's talk about the actual din itself. That we're saying that the
Stukha... One question.
What?
One question. When you say psula, does that mean the whole sukkah has to be rebuilt or it can be adjusted?
No, of course not. I mean, that's what the Gemara was asking, that you might, you could adjust it. You could take the schach down and put it lower. You could, even as we just said, you could add more schach underneath the existing schach to bring the space down to 20 amos or less. Or, as Aaron pointed out, the Gemara is going to tell us later on Daf Dalet, you could even put dirt into the sukkah to raise the floor level. So no, psula just means, in other words, right now, until you do one of those things, it's possible. So now becomes the question, why is it possible? Menohani Mili, where do we know that a sukkah that's taller than 20 amos is possible? So we're going to have three reasons. Reason number one, Omer Rabba, de Omer Kro Laman Yedu Derech Seichem. The Pasuk says, that you should sit in Sukkot, l'man yedu derisech, in order that your future generations should know. Now, in context, the pasuk kibas Sukkot eshabti es bnei Yisrael, that I made the Jewish people dwell in Sukkot. In context, the pasuk is telling us, keep the mitzvah of Sukkot in order to remember what Hashem did for us in the desert. We're going to have later on, and that's machlokes, whether the Sukkot refers to Anani HaKavod, or whether it refers to actual Sukkot that they lived in. Whatever the case, Rabbah is taking it also in the sense that when you're sitting in the Sukkot, you have to know that you're sitting in the Sukkot. Which is, by the way, brought lahalocha in Shulchan Aruch. In fact, the Alter Rebbe begins the Mechaber and then the Alter Rebbe begin Hilchas Sukkah in that way by mentioning the point of Laman Yedu Dereseichem. The Rebbe used to mention it a bunch of times in Tzichas that we see. This is an example. Usually you have mitzvahs ain't Tzichas Kavana. Usually you do a mitzvah, fine, whether you had Kavana or not. It may not be an ideal mitzvah. To put it in the terms that Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, maybe a bird without wings, but nevertheless, it's still a bird. But when it comes to Sukkah, is one of those examples where the Kavana is essential to the mitzvah. You have to be sitting in the Sukkah and be cognizant of the fact that you're sitting in a Sukkah and that Hashem had to sit in Sukkahs to remember the Anani HaKavod. So, the point is, therefore, so ad eshim ama adam yedeya shu darba Sukkah. Up to when the schach is up to 20 amos above the ground, a person knows that he's sitting in a sukkah because he can see it. He doesn't have to tilt his head that far back to see it. But above 20 amos, a person does not realize that he's sitting in a sukkah because the eye does not see it that easily. Again, given that the sukkah is named that because of the schach, then therefore, therefore you don't want to have that the guy's going to have to sit there and tilt his head back to see it. You want that he should notice it. You want that he should just be able to see it without having to make a lot of effort to. And therefore, above 20 amos, he's not going to be able to. Okay, that's answer number one. Reb Zeira Omer Mehach. Reb Zeira says, based on a different pasuk, the pasuk is based on a different source. The pasuk says in Yeshaya, the sukkah tia letzel yoma mechora. The pasuk says, it's talking about la'asid lavoi. And then talking about lost love, we actually just had something about this in the Ein Yaakov shiur that we have here in the afternoon. We were talking about the Chuppas and Gan Eden from Bava Basra. So this pasuk is in that context, saying the sukkah will be for the tzaddikim will be letzel yoma mechoda for shade by day from the heat. So therefore, the point is, in other words, that a sukkah's purpose is to give shade. So Reb Zeira says, ad estrim ama odom yoshev betzel sukkah. Up to 20 amas, a person is sitting in the shade of the sukkah, in the shade of the schach. L'mayla me'estrim ama, but if it's higher than 20 amas, einonim yoshev betzel sukkah elo betzel dfanis. Then he's not sitting in the shade of the schach, he's sitting in the shade of the walls of the sukkah. And therefore, so Rashi says, the point is that therefore you don't even really need schach. At that point, you're in the shade anyway because of the walls without even having schach above. Or a different point is also because there's a shade of the schach does not end up inside the sukkah. You have shade, but it's someplace outside the sukkah, not where you're sitting. Now, of course, the question is, won't that depend on the position of the sun? When the sun is low in the sky, then no matter what size your sukkah is, you're not going to have sunlight in it. And if you live at the equator and the sun is directly overhead, then no matter how tall your sukkah is, you're going to have shade underneath from the schach. So there's different explanations, one of them being that we're talking about at least during a substantial part of the day, it should be. Another point is that, fine, you know, maybe in Eretz Yisrael, the sun is never directly overhead. The closest it is, even during Tkufas Tammuz, is a couple of, is like 8 degrees or so off the vertical. So fine, in Tkufas Tammuz, maybe a tall sukkah, you would end up with a little bit of shade of the schach inside the sukkah. But you don't make sukkahs during Tkufas Tammuz. You make it 3 months later on the 15th of Tishrei. By that time, the sun is lower in the sky, and therefore the Chachamim calculated that a sukkah that tall, you're not going to end up with the shade in the right place. We'll talk about that more on Omer Beis. I mean, how can you say a blanket statement like that? Won't it depend on the width of the sukkah? So we'll get back to that point in a little bit. Okay. So that's Reb Zeira's explanation. Amalei Abaya, but Abaya asks Reb Zeira, how can you say that that's the reason? Elamei Ata, by that logic, if you're saying that it's essential that the shade that you get is, at least at some point during the day, is going to be from the schach, Eramayata, by your logic, if a person makes a sukkah in Ashteres Karnayim, which is a Rashi describes it as a place with two big mountains and a deep valley between them, so therefore, the valley is so deep and narrow that the sun doesn't shine into it. That area, Ashteres Karnayim, we're told at the beginning of Chumash Devarim, that is where, that's the area where Og Malach HaBashan had its capital. Asher Yoshev Ashteres Be'edrei. Anyway, so I don't know if we know exactly. I mean, it's someplace either in the Golan or in southern Syria, but I don't know if they've identified it exactly. Anyway, Bashtas are mountains like that all over the place. I mean, So the point is, let's say a person made his sukkah over there. Hochinami, do I have a sukkah? You're going to tell me it wouldn't be a sukkah because he doesn't have shade from the schach? And after all, we know you can make a sukkah wherever you want. People make sukkahs, for example, here in Crown Heights, in their alleyways, where also you have very little, if any, shade that comes to them between the sides of the buildings and all. Amalei, so Rav Zeira answers him, no. The difference is, Hosam, in that case, Dal Ashteres Karnayim Ikatzel Sukkah. In that case, if there was no Ashteres Karnayim, then you would have shade in the sukkah. Then you would have, the schach would actually be doing its job of providing shade. The fact that you have something external, the mountains of Ashteres Karnayim, is neither here nor there. Hocha, but over here, what we're saying is, if the sukkah is too tall, Dal Defanes, if you take away the walls, Leka Tzel Sukkah, there is no shade of the sukkah in the sense, according to Rashi, what happens is, because the sukkah is that tall, therefore what happens is, the sun shines in under the schach. Therefore, again, the schach is not really serving its purpose of providing shade, which we learn from the pasuk that the purpose of schach is to provide shade. Therefore, no good. There is also the point that we're going to talk later, and we're going to talk further on that we said in the Mishnah that the sukkah has to have at least three walls. So in other words, the walls are an essential part of the sukkah. And over here, if you didn't have the walls, then the sun would just be shining straight through, as opposed to an Ashteres Karnayim. If you have Ashteres Karnayim, you take those away, and you still have the walls over there, and you still have the schach, then you'll have the shade where it should be. Okay. The Rabba Amar Mehocha. Rava says a third explanation. The pasuk says, "Basukas teishu shivas yom." The pasuk says you should sit in sukkahs for 7 days. Now that means Amrat Torah kol shivas yomim say midiras keva v'shev v'diras arai. Means throughout the 7 days of sukkahs, Hashem tells you leave your permanent dwelling and go into a temporary dwelling. So in other words, the definition of a sukkah is that temporary, which we talked about before, and we're going to talk several times during the perek, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, if not necessarily so, according to him it could be, or according to some Rishonim, even maybe it must be, a diras keva. But according to the Chachamim, at any rate, it has to be diras arai. Therefore, says Rava, ad esrim ama odom oise diras arai. Up to 20 amas tall, a person is able to make his sukkah be a diras arai. He's able to construct it in a way that it'll be temporary. That's not going to last long term, but that's good. But l'mayla me'esrim ama. But when it's higher than 20 amas, ein odam oisa diras diras arai ala diras keva. A person does not make. This is more gemara than that. A person is not able to make a sukkah diras arai. But rather, diras keva, in other words, once it gets above 20 amas, he's not going to be able to build it as a temporary hut like you usually build a sukkah. Necessarily, it's going to have to have foundations, it's going to have more permanent walls, and therefore it's a diras keva, and that violates the point of diras arai. Somewhere in the back, though, let's talk about it. Amalei Abayas. Abayas says, you're telling me then the sukkah must be a diras arai. Ela me'ata, by that logic, also mechitzes shel barzel v'sikach ha'gavon. What if a person made walls out of iron and put schach on top of them? Hochinami, do I have a sukkah? You're going to tell me it wouldn't be considered a sukkah? You're going to tell me the walls must be temporary? And again, we know ma'isim b'chol yom, that people don't do that. Amalei, so Rav Zeira says, no. Hochikam in the lach. What I'm trying to say is as follows. Ad chof ama de odam oise dirase diras arai, where up to 20 amas you're able to make it diras arai. So, over the diras keva nami nothing. So then it doesn't matter, even if the person does make it diras keva, then it's fine. In other words, the Torah is not telling you it must be Diras Arai. The Torah is telling you it has to be capable of being a Diras Arai. You should have been able to build it as a Diras Arai. There's a concept that Gemara mentions in some places called Kol HaRoi LeBila. That if you have the original context is in connection with menachas, where you have a person brings a korban mincha, which is flour mixed with oil. It has to be that the flour and the oil should be able to be mixed together. Therefore, a person brings a korban mincha of more than 60 esrogim, then it's no good. And the Gemara gives a reason because it's impossible to mix it. So the question is, the Gemara asks, so what? If you bring a mincha even of one esrogim and you didn't mix the flour and the oil, it's still kosher to be eved. And the answer is, Reb Zera says a rule that if you're able to, mix it, then the fact that you didn't actually mix it is not ma'akev. But if you're not able to mix it, then not. So here it's in a similar vein. The fact that you can't make it a dinas arai is what the Torah is ma'akev on. If you're able to make it, then the Torah doesn't care at that point if you make it dinas keva as well. So therefore, nami nafik, so therefore he's also yotze, even if he makes it a jiras keva. L'mayla michof amma, whereas if it's above 20 amas, the odom oysa jiyose jiras keva, necessarily he has to make it a krios, therefore ki ovele jiras arai, nami le nafik, so even if he makes it arai, then he's not going to be yotze, because it was a situation where it's impossible to build it arai. Tosfos actually points out a side thing. If we're saying over here that the sukkah can be diras arai, but it's also fine if you happen to build it diras keva, then what's the problem if it rains during sukkahs? Why can't you, at least on a daraisa level, make your sach out of boards nailed down, and there you have something that'll keep the rain out? Okay, the rabbanon we're going to have later on in the perek, the concept of gzeiras tikra, that the chachamim are concerned that then you're going to think I might as well just stay home. But at least daraisa, it should be kosher. So why do we say the shomim simen klol b'chag, that if it rains during sukkahs, it's not a good simen? I think it's funny, by the way, that not only does it often rain during Sukkot, but here we have, we're starting the Masechta Sukkah and it's raining. So why not? So Tosfos says, first of all, if it's also Derabanan, Tosfos says like this. The walls is one thing. The schach is something else. After all, we said already, Rashi says, the Sukkah is so-called because of the schach. The Chachamim are going to say, even Rabbi Yehuda may well agree that the schach has to be arai. The walls can be keva, according to the Chachamim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there's not even a requirement that they should have been able to be made arai, and there were even some Rishonim who learned that Rabbi Yehuda says they must be keva. But the schach, everybody agrees, has to be arai. An interesting side point that comes from that is the question, can you make the schach so thick that rain will not fall in? So the halacha in Shulchan Aruch is you should make it that ideally, we're going to learn later in the Masechta, in the second parak, that it should be that you're able to see the stars through it. If you made it thicker than that, it's still kosher. If you made it so thick that the rain come in, that the rain can't come in, there are a couple of poskim who say that it's possible, because then it's again kmin keva, then it's like a kvius, like Tosfos is saying over here. And then you have others who say the fact is it was made in an arai way, so even though you happen to make it very thick, then it's fine. It's brought in particular about some chassidish rabbeim. Now we know all minig is to add a lot of schach. But there were some who went way beyond that. Someone made it like 20 inches thick. So according to Reb Zera, the reason why a sukkah is possible if it's higher than 20 amos is because it's impossible to build it arai. So in other words, according to him, the pasuk is not telling us that it has to be arai, but it's telling us the size beyond which it can never be arai, and therefore it's going to be possible. So we have three reasons. Let's figure out why each of the Chachamim, why each of these three Amoraim does not accept the other reasons. Kulu k'rabo le'ami. Now, Rav Zera do not want to accept Rabba's reason, that it's based on l'man yedu d'reseichem, and that you have to be able to know that you're sitting in the sukkah, That l'man yedu d'reseichem doesn't mean, like you say, you have to know you're sitting in the sukkah. It means that you should know in future generations that Hashem surrounded us with an ane covered in the desert. So nothing to do with whether you're actually able to see and notice the schach or not. Kidab Zeda Nami Layami. Neither of them wants to accept Reb Zeda's explanation that we're learning it from that we're learning it from the Sukkah Tiel itself. Because Amri, because Hahudi, Moshe Mashiach, because they say those sukkahs are not talking about nowadays. The sukkah, and the sukkah that we sit in nowadays on sukkahs has nothing to do per se with shade. The sukkahs that Hashem is going to make for the tzaddikim, Moshe Lavi, their purpose is shade. So nothing to do. So the question is, okay, Reb Zeira, what does Reb Zeira answer to that? He says, "In kain lemakrova chupa tiyalatzel yomim." If that's what the pasuk meant, that it's only talking about the sukkahs that Hashem is going to make for the tzaddikim la'asid lavoi, then it shouldn't have used the word sukkah. It should have used the word chupa, which in fact the previous pasuk says ki al kovid chupa. So then it would make sense to continue v'chupa tiyalatzel. So if it's only talking about that, then that's what it would have said. My v'sukkah tiyalatzel yomim. Why instead does it change from chupa to sukkah? Sham minotarti. Therefore, it means both. It does refer to the sukkah la'asid lavoi. But by the way, we learn from that the definition of a sukkah is something that's made for shade, and therefore, because the one in Mashiach's times is going to be that the purpose of it is for shade, but the tzaddikim, therefore, the pasuk calls it a sukkah to hint at that idea. Which, by the way, of course, you know, we can't learn halachas daraisa from psukim in nach. So it would mean, in other words, it's what the Gemara calls gilui milsa ba'alma. It's not that we learn like zeta shava or something. You can't do that, but rather that it's giving us a definition. You should know the definition of the word sukkah that it says in Chumash is that it's meant for shade. Okay. So that's according to Reb Zeira, but the other chachamim you said didn't accept that. Could Rava Nami Lai Amri? Why didn't they want to accept Rava's answer that it has to do with Diras Arai versus Diras Keva? The reason is Mishum Kushya Di Abaya, because of the question that Abaya asked, that we see that people make mechitzas for those walls for their sukkah out of permanent materials, and there's no problem with that. So fine, Rava had answered it and said that. And said that all the Torah is telling you is a shear rather than the material for the walls, but the other Chachamim, the other Rabba and Reb Zeda don't want to accept that. There's no particular reason to think that the Torah should be telling us the height of the sukkah by means of telling us Diras Arai, they say, and therefore it must be either the Torah is telling us you can't make it out of permanent materials, which we know is not the case, Mais and Mechol Yom, that people make sukkahs where that people use, for example, walls of their houses as a wall of the sukkah. Or it would mean that it can, or so therefore they can't accept that the Torah is thereby telling us, is thereby implying to us that it has to be within 20 hours. Okay. Now, what are nafka minas between these reasons? So the Gemara says, Kiman ozla hada amar Yoshi amar Rav. Which of these opinions would it be what Rav Yoshia says in the name of Rav? Machloikus b'shein tfanes magias b'schach. The machloikus between the Chachamim and Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah about whether it can be higher than 20 amos is only if the walls don't reach all the way to the schach. Sometimes you build a sukkah, you have the walls are a certain height, that'd be at least 10 tochen tall, and then beyond that you have empty space from there until the schach. So if that's the case, then that's the machlokes. I will tfanes magias the schach, but if the walls reach all the way to the schach, afilu l'maylam esrim amek sheira, then according to that, even the chachamim would hold that it's kosher even if it's above 20 amos. Kiman, which of these three opinions would that follow? Necessarily, that would have to be kirabah. Among the three reasons about that you can see the schach, that you can notice and easily perceive the schach, that you should have shade of the schach in the sukkah, and that you should be able to build it. Diras Arai, necessarily that would only fit according to Rabba. Which is the first one. Mishum Doi Shalta Ba'ena, who says because you're not able to notice the schach. Mekivin the Defanes Magias the schach, once the walls reach the schach, Mishla Shalta Ba'ena, then you'll be able to notice it because your eyes are going to be drawn to the walls, and then you're going to look up the walls, and then you're going to see the schach. So Tosfos mentions the point about Eruvin. You have when it comes to Ner Chanukah, we don't have such an exception. When it comes to the Korah by the Mavoi, by Eruvin, we don't have such an exception. The reason is Tosfos says because a sukkah is wider. We're going to talk about soon what the minimum width of a sukkah, 7 tefachim or 4 amos. Therefore, once you have walls that reach up to it, then you can notice the schach as well. There it's not. The menorah or the korah are very narrow. Now, it comes out from what Tosfos is saying that, in other words, if you just have one wall, now in that case, you actually have two walls that reach all the way up to the coda. The coda has to be sitting on top of something. It's sitting on top of the walls of the mabul. So you have two walls that are reaching up to it, and yet we're saying that's not enough. So the implication is that if you were going to go according to what Rav is saying and have a sukkah taller than 20 amos, you would have to have that all of the walls reach up to the schach, and only then would Rav's reason apply. On the other hand, the Ritzvot says maybe not necessarily. Maybe the difference is the width of the koda or the schach or whatever itself, the width of the schach itself versus the width of the koda or of the menorah. So maybe as long as based on the idea that you're looking at the wall and your eyes will therefore naturally travel up the wall and notice the schach, then that could apply even if you only have one wall that reaches all the way up to the schach. Okay. Next, Kiman Ozla Hoda Omer Rav Huna Omer Rav. Next, according to which opinion would be this that Rav Huna says in the name of Rav? Machloikus b'she'en ba'ela arba amas al arba amas. The machloikus about the 20 amas is only if the sukkah is less than 4 by 4 amas wide. Avo yesh b'yosemi arba amas al arba amas. But if it's wider than 4 by 4 amas, afilu l'maylam esrim amak sheva, then it would be kosher even above 20 amas. Which of the three reasons, noticing the schach being in the shade of the schach or diras keva, does that fit? So kaman kirav zeda. Necessarily, that would have to be like Rav Zeda's explanation. Dama mishum tselhu, who says the problem is that you're not in the shade of the schach because, as Rashi said, the sun gets in underneath it, or as Rabbi Hananel said, because the sun, the shade doesn't land inside the sukkah, it lands outside it. Well then, so the kivin diravicha, once the sukkah is wider, ikat sel sukkah, then you will have shade of the sukkah inside, even if it's taller than 20 amas. Now comes the question. I mean, so what are you telling me then? Does that mean then that if the sukkah is more than 4 by 4, it can be 100 amas tall? I mean, where do we draw the line? So the Ran, first of all, says, the Ran brings on it, he says, I mean, on the face of it, how do we have that? We say as a blanket statement, according to this, if it's more than 4 by 4, then it can be above 20. Wouldn't it depend? There's only a certain height that you can have for a certain width. So he says, maybe we have to answer that once the sukkah is a certain width, then you have schach on top of it, even if it's far higher than 20 amos, even if it's 50 amos, even if it's 100 amos, nevertheless, it still helps cool off the sukkah a little bit. It still provides shade. Maybe not, fine. The shade is not actually landing on you. You still have the same proportion. The actual shade is landing outside the sukkah, but maybe it's actually still helping to cool off the sukkah a little bit. You're not as hot as you would be if it was uncovered to the sky. On the other hand, the Tashvitz talks about this in one of his Truvas, and he says, come on, that doesn't work out. It doesn't work out mathematically. It didn't work out according to our own experience. So rather, Tosfos brings over here, and the Rashbats agrees with, what it means is you would have to keep the proportions. When we're saying if it's wider than 4, it can be higher than 20, but you have to have a proportion no more than 5 times. So fine, if the sukkah is 5 by 5, then it can be 25 amas tall. If it's 6 by 6, then it can be 30 amas tall, etc. But you can't have... There's not an indefinite amount that it could be more than 20 amas tall. So a ratio of 1 in 5. In fact, the Tashvitz says based on that, it might even come out according to that. If we follow that opinion, the halacha, which we don't necessarily, then it would mean that, for example, if the sukkah was only 2 by 2 amas, then the maximum it can be is 10 amas. You'd always have to keep that 1 in 5 proportion. Okay. So that would fit according to Rav Zeda's opinion. Now, next, Kiman Ozla Hoda Omer Rav Chanan Bar Rava Omer Rav. What about this that Rav Chanan Bar Rava says in the name of Rav? Machloikus b'she'en machzefes ela kadei roisha v'ruba v'shochonai. The machloikus of Rabbi Huda and the Chachamim is only if the sukkah is not large enough to fit his head, most of his body, and his table. Now, why do we need the head and most of the body? When we sit over here, we're sitting right now. Our head is above our body. You don't need more space for one or the other. Rashi reminds us that in those times, they used to eat reclining. So therefore, your head is in one place and your body is next to it. Therefore, you need room for both of them. And you need a table. So if it only holds, only if it's large enough to fit exactly his head, most of his body, and his table, then that's the machlokes. But if it's larger than that, that definition is 7 by 7 tefachim. The idea is a person themselves takes up six by six tefachim, one by one amma, and then the table is an additional one square. The table is an additional. Now, why don't we say the table is one square tefach, maybe? So why don't we say that the sukkah can be six by six, and then one tefach sticking out? A couple of explanations given. One of them being, again, given that Rashi is saying over here they reclined, then they would have their tables would be long and skinny. So you wouldn't have a table one by one tefach. You'd have a table one tefach by seven tefachim. And therefore, the whole table needs to be able to fit in the sukkah, as we're going to talk about tomorrow, Baruch Hashem. And then another point of it is, the Chachamim wanted you should be able to place your table wherever you want. So you can be sitting over here. Your table can be here, 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 etc. Therefore, you need a strip of one tefach by one tefach outside of your body, outside of your head and your body, in order to be able to place the table wherever you want. And therefore, the shear ends up being seven by seven tefachim. The Pnimius, by the way, there's a Rishimus of the Rebbe, which is a sticha that he gave in the Uri Tzaddiks, where he explains that it comes out, given that we're saying the minimum height of the sukkah is 10 tefachim, and the minimum width we're saying over here is 7 by 7, and then we're going to mention there's machloikas about it, but the halacha is the minimum is 7 by 7, means the minimum volume of a sukkah is 490 cubic tefachim. That is the gematria of the word tamim, as in tamim tia ima shav lekecha, and therefore that, so Pnimius, that's the reason why that's the minimum size of a sukkah. So according to that explanation, so Ava Machzekas Yosim Kde Yoshi Rubber Vashokhane, if the sukkah is larger than 7 by 7 tefachim, Afilu Lamailam Esrim Amakshera, then Rav Chanan Bar Rava tells us in the name of Rav that it would be kosher above 20 amos according to the Chachamim. Kiman, the like Echad. That doesn't fit according to any of the three Amoroyim who gave the reasons for the 20 amos. Because you can't really say. I mean, Rabba's reason on the face of it would still apply. You're still not going to notice the schach if it's above 20 amos, even though the sukkah is more than 7 by 7 tefachim wide. Rav Zera's reason is not going to work either, because you don't really have the shade on you. You have the shade if the sun comes in under the schach, and the shade itself is someplace else entirely. Your mechitzas keva necessarily. If you're going to build a sukkah that tall, you're also going to need to build permanent mechitzas. So it doesn't really fit according to any of the three of them. So that would mean that according to that way of looking at it, then Rav Chanan bar Rava's reason, we don't understand then why he would say that. Tosfos gives a reason for it. Namely, that the reason is because if you have a sukkah that narrow and that tall, it's only 7 by 7, and it's more than 20 amos tall, then it doesn't really resemble a house. It resembles a chicken coop. So therefore, we can't say that person is sitting in something resembling a house, where it is after all supposed to be teishu kentadru. But once it's more than 7 by 7, then already it's not considered a lul shel tanagodel. It's not considered a chicken coop. Then it can be considered a proper sukkah, and therefore, according to that explanation, it can be higher than 20. Now, among the three amiroyim, who is the halacha like? Which opinion do we accept the halacha as the reason for why the 20 amma limit? And then, as we're saying over here in the Gemara, that's going to affect the question of what happens if the sukkah is wider, etc. There are some of the Rishonim who say that the halacha should be like Rabbah, for a couple of reasons, one of them being that Rabbah was the Rebbe of Rava, and therefore, and up until the time of Abaya and Rava, the usual rule is that the halacha is like the Rebbe against the Talmud. However, most of the Rishonim paskin like Rava, for the reason that Rava, because Rava is Basra, now, because he's the latest of these three, and in fact, the Gemara presents his opinion last, and also because later in the parak, several times, we're going to talk about the idea that Rabbi Yehuda holds the sukkah can be diras keva, or maybe even must be diras keva, which fits with Rava's reason. So that would mean, according to that then, so there's no exceptions for a wider sukkah. There's no exceptions for a wider sukkah. There's no exceptions for the walls reaching all the way up to the sukkah. No matter what, a sukkah above 20 amos is possible. Okay, so now, this is what we're saying. So what did we say? We said that, we said Rav Huna had said in the name of Rav, had talked about whether the sukkah is more or less than 4 by 4 amas. That would be when you have the machlokes about the 20 amas. We had Rav Chanan bar Rava saying in the name of Rav, that it's the machlokes whether it's 7 by 7 or larger than that. So we would rather have to say that they're not actually, so let's figure out these various opinions that we just talked about. Are they necessarily arguing with each other? B'shlema did Rabbi Yoshiya pliga ad Rabbi Huna v'Rabbi Chanan bar Rava. Necessarily, what Rabbi Yoshiya says about the walls reaching all the way up to the sack or not. Necessarily, he's arguing with Rav Huna and Rav Chanan bar Rabba. The ihu koyav shiur b'mashka, the ihu loy koyav shiur b'mashka. They're saying that if the sukkah is a certain width, is a certain length and width, then the walls can be above 20 amos. Rav Yoshia doesn't make such a distinction. He only makes a distinction whether the walls reach up to the sack. So necessarily, according to him, the criteria for it being able to be 20 amos are different than according to them. Would we have to say that they are arguing about the minimum size of a sukkah, the ma'asav hechshes sukkah ba'arba amos, or ma'asav hechshes sukkah machzekas reishu b'rivish shochanai? Would it be the underlying machlokes would be what's the minimum size of a sukkah, 4 amos or 4 by 4 amos or 7 by 7 tefachim? An advantage of saying it that way would be we don't have to say that they're actually arguing on the words that Rav had said. We could say that Rav had originally said that the machloikas between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim is if the sukkah is exactly heksher sukkah versus larger than that. And then Rav Huna and Rav Chanan bar Rabba, this is me, what did Rav mean by that? Did he mean heksher sukkah is 7 by 7, or did he mean heksher sukkah is 4 by 4? So can we say that that's their machloikas? And the answer is loy. No, we can't necessarily learn that way. Rather, the kula alma heksher sukkah v'roshu v'rubu v'shochonoi. Both of them might agree that the minimum size of a sukkah is 7 by 7 tefachim that will fit his head and his body and most of his body in his table. So therefore, the machlokas is just that. Rav Chanan bar Rabba holds that the machlokas is when it's 7 by 7 regarding the 20 amos. But if it's larger than that, then even the chachamim are going to agree it's kosher if it's higher than 20 amos. Whereas Rav Huna is going to say like this: if it's less than Rabbi Rosh Beruba Veshochana, it's possible. If it's between that and 4 by 4, that is when the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda are going to argue about the 20 amos. But if it's wider than 4 amos, then they would both agree it's kosher. In other words, necessarily we do have to say, even though we would like not to, but we have to say that Rav Huna and Rav Chanan bar Rabba. Rav Chanan bar Rabba are actually disagreeing on the words that Rav said. Not just that Rav had said Hechshe Sukkah, and then they're arguing what did Rav mean by Hechshe Sukkah, but rather that they're arguing did Rav say the Machloikas is only when it's 7 by 7, but not larger, or did Rav say that the Machloikas is up to 4 amos? Okay. Fine. So the Gemara says, Mesu, I have a contradiction. So you're telling me then that a Sukkah, you're telling me then So the question is going to be like this. Again, we had a few different ways of explaining when the machloikas of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is. Let's look at an actual case involving a sukkah higher than 20 amos and see which of these opinions it fits according to. So the Braisa says, sukkah shigvoy l'maylam esrim amos psula, a sukkah that's taller than 20 amos is possible. Rabbi Yehuda machsher ad aboyim b'chamishim amos. Rabbi Yehuda said it's kosher even if it's 40 or 50 amos tall. And he doesn't mean only 40 or 50, he's just giving those as like indefinite numbers. It can be as tall as you want according to Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says, I'll bring you a proof. Maisa behilmi hamalka b'lud. It happened with Queen Hilmi in Lud. Queen Hilmi was she and then much of her family she lived towards the end of the second Bais Mikdash. And Rashi, in a couple of places, explains that she and then Munbaz that I mentioned elsewhere were related to the Hashmonaim. That some of the other Mephoroshim explained that actually they were a family of Gerim. They were the royal family of Chadiev, which was a country in what nowadays is northern Iran and southern Turkey and whatever. So they were the kings and queens of that country. What? So there, it's actually in Babel. I mean, Babel itself is the city of Babel, the southern part of Iraq. Yeah, this would be the northern part. Yeah, Kurdistan and that whole area. Yeah. So they had a kingdom there called Chabiev in Hebrew, called Adiabene in English. And at one point, about 50 years before the Churban, a large part of the family became Gerim. The Gemara meant. Not necessarily. I don't know.
Yeah, it was a kingdom. Oh,
the Adi Abin, that's what we're saying. I don't know. Oh, you're talking about the Chazar? Is the Chazar the 800 years?
Depends
on. All right, anyway, let's go on. So, okay, the point is that anyway, the royal family, at any rate, became Gerim, and the Gemara mentions them favorably in a bunch of places. So this Hilmi Amalka, the Lud in the city of Lud, and Shahoisa Sukkot. Actually, she ended up in Eretz Yisrael, as did some of her family. Actually, the Mishnah in Nozir tells us an interesting reason why she ended up over there. She, at one point, one of her sons went to fight in a war, and she was worried about his safety, so she made a neder that if he comes back safely, she's going to be a nezira for 7 years. So then she was a Nazirah for 7 years in her country of Chadiv. Then she came to Yerushalayim to bring her korbanos, and the Chachamim told her Nazirus outside Eretz Yisrael doesn't count. So she had to stay in Eretz Yisrael. So she built herself a palace in Yerushalayim. They actually found ruins of it in archaeological digs over the years. He was saying she also stayed in Lud for a period of time. Anyway, so she stayed there.
She stayed where they all tied with Malawah.
No, I don't think so. No, that's a different. That's somebody else. I don't think so. That's a different story. That's a different queen. I don't remember which one. Anyway, so she stayed in Eretz Yisrael. Then the Mishnah says right before the 7 years were up, she accidentally became Tameh. And what happens to a Nazir who becomes Tameh? They got to start all over. So 21 years she was in Nazira. Anyway, the point is she lived in Eretz Yisrael for a considerable period of time. So here we're saying she was in Lod. Her sukkah was more than 20 amas tall. Chachamim are going in and out of the sukkah the whole time. So they had to have noticed that it's taller. And they didn't say anything that there's a problem. So obviously, therefore, sukkah is kosher higher than 20 amas. Amru loy, but the Chachamim answered him, Misham Raya, you're bringing a proof from that? That's not a proof. Isha Hoiso Ptorim and Asukkah. She's a woman. A woman is Potter from Sukkah. So therefore, the Chachamim had no reason to object to what she's doing. Now, by the way, an interesting point that comes from that is, fine, she's a woman, she's Potter from Sukkah. Nevertheless, though, women are able to do mitzvah eseh, shazman grama. There is a machloikus rishonim whether they're able to make a bracha on such mitzvahs. This is, we have every time, we have every year, yeah, this question comes up. You go on mitzvah, you go on mitzvah shofar, mitzvah lulav, or whatever. You actually have, it ends up being, it's a machloikus between the Rambam and Tosfos, whether a woman can make a bracha on a mitzvah esa that she's not required to. The Rambam says no, Tosfos says yes. It ends up being a machloikus between the Mechaber and the Ramah. Therefore, to this very day, women don't, and therefore, when you go on the tzoyim, you have to be careful. If you're blowing shofar for a Sardish woman or having her take a lulav or whatever, then you wouldn't have her make the bracha.
Why the chachamim didn't see that by not saying anything, people would believe that higher than 20 amos it would be kosher, even if she was a woman.
Out of the proof, and the Chachamim are saying the fact that she was a woman, they didn't need to mention to her that it needs to be lower than 20, because for herself it's not a problem. That other people, okay, listen, other people aren't necessarily going to build the sukkah the way that she did, as we're going to go on to say. So the Chacham Tzvi actually brings in one of his trubas. Here you have a proof for the Rambam Shitta that she can't make a bracha, because if she can make a bracha, and according to the Chachamim, a sukkah higher than 20 is possible, then she's making a bracha of Atola, no? So the fact that the Chachamim didn't object on that ground is a proof for the Rambam Shitta that she's not making a bracha anyhow. What? So it would be a bracha of Atola, because the Rambam holds, that's it. So I think, I mean, if you have a woman who, like, you know, her ancestry is Sardish, but she herself is unfortunately not keeping mitzvahs yet, then fine, maybe, but we're talking about if you have, let's say, a frum Sardish woman, for whatever reason, is not able to go to shul and hear shofar, and you go to her house to blow shofar for her, then she's not going to be able to make the bracha. Amar Lahan, but Rabbi Yehuda answers back to the Chachamim, fine, I agree that she's Potter from Sukkah. Bahala Shiva Bonim Hoyula, she had 7 sons, so aren't they Chayiv in Sukkah? But Oid, Kol Maaseh La'osa El Al-Pi Chachamim. And also, everything that Hilmi did, she followed the Chachamim. She followed the instructions of the Chachamim. So therefore, she wouldn't have built the Sukkah without the agreement of the Chachamim. That's fine. Okay, so first of all, before we get into how this fits with the various opinions that we said before about the 20 amos, let's first figure out what is Rabbi Yehuda adding with that last line. Why does he need to mention that second point? Once he mentions that she had sons and her boys are chayiv and sukkah, automatically that's reason enough that it has to be kosher. So hachi kamalahu, it means Rabbi Yehuda is telling them as follows. Now you're going to answer, okay, these are little kids, and as we're going to learn at the end of the second paragraph, children below a certain age are potter from sukkah. No, but in this case, that wouldn't work. Kiven de Shiva Havu, she had seven sons, E Efshad Loy Havu, who had Chang at Sarah Leimud. Necessarily, at least one of them must have been above the age that Sarah Leimud. I mean, unless we were going to assume that they were twins and triplets and all, and the Gemara is not assuming that. So, you know, step couplets, yeah, whatever. But, yeah, later on, at the end of the second paragraph, we're going to talk about Katan She'enet Tzorech Le'imah, that once a child is old enough that he doesn't need his mother, which the Gemara gives two definitions of it. The definition, Mahalacha, is that the kid wakes up in the middle of the night, he may call for his mother once, but he doesn't keep on calling for her again and again. So usually, with the average kid, that's 5-6 years old. Just seven kids, necessarily, at least one of them had to be older than that. So for that reason alone, it would have had to be a kosher. It would have had to be a kosher sukkah. V'chi tema katan shein etzarich le'imah midrabanan hu demechayev. So you're going to answer, okay, big deal. Katan shein etzarich le'imah is only chayev midrabanan. V'i midrabanan le'mashpacha. So she may not pay attention to anything of the chachamim. She may say it's good enough that I'm doing things that are kosher minatod. I don't care about the tekanas of the chachamim. Therefore, you had to add the line. Toshma ba'od komaser lo'osse el api chachamim. Therefore, he has to add the line that she always follow the chachamim. So therefore, she's going to make sure that her kids who are above the age of chinuch are going to have to be sitting in a kosher sukkah. So you see from this, by the way, that we see from this that when you're being mechanech a kid, you have to be mechanech them. The Ritva points out, based on this, you see when you're mechanech a kid, you have to be mechanech him in a mitzvah that's kosher according to all the details. We're not going to say, for example, you just have to be mechanech him to sit in a sukkah. The sukkah is not kosher, big deal. At least he gets in the habit of sitting in a sukkah. No, we're saying the sukkah itself has to be kosher, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda is saying if the sukkah higher than 20 amos is possible, then how would that fit? So therefore, for example, a nafkamina that comes out of it is, for example, you know, later on in the Sefer we're going to talk about lulav and esrog, and we know that on the first day the lulav and esrog has to be lachem, it has to belong to you. So what do you do as far as the situation? We know the Gemara tells us later that if you give your lulav and esrog to a kid, then you have a problem because he can't be maknet back to you. So especially for us who have 2 days of Yom Tov, and then both days it has to be lachem, then you have a real problem. So one possibility is maybe you give it to him in such a way that he's not actually koneh. Would that fit according to this? According to what the Ritva is saying, maybe not. You have to do the mitzvah in a way that's actually kosher. On the other hand, different mepharshim talk about there may be a difference between something with a psul in the mitzvah itself versus in a side thing of it. Here we're talking about the side of the sukkah itself. Another example would be, let's say, can you mechanech a kid with a possible lulav and esrog? Can you go buy him a possible lulav, a possible esrog, and be mechanech him with that? Based on what the Ritva is saying, no. But when you have the lulav and esrog itself is kosher and it's only lochem, which is a side thing, then maybe that's not such a problem. Another interesting point that comes out of this, by the way, is the question, is a mother chayev in chinuch for her children at all? Here we're talking about her being mechanech her kids. Does that mean a father has a mitzvah, midrabanan, to be mechanech his kids? Does a mother have that same chiyuv as well? And in fact, we had at the end of Yuma, a few days before the end, we had the discussion over there about when children have to start fasting on Yom Kippur. So there was a Tosfos Shishanim got into a discussion over there about what chiyuv do women have to be mechanech their kids. So one possibility is over here, we're mentioning Hilni, but she had a husband. And we're talking about the husband would have the one of the actual mitzvah of chinuch. We're mentioning Hilni because she was more prominent. The other possibility is that actually, fine, maybe her husband had passed away, but what it is she's not required, maybe. So one possibility is, yes, she's required to be mechanech her kids just as much as a father would. If they don't have a father, then the chiyuv devolves on her. Another possibility is maybe not, but nevertheless, even if she doesn't have the technical mitzvah, dirabbanan of chinuch, nevertheless, she needed to be mechanech her kids. And there's actually a sicha where the Rebbe talks about b'chlal, what's the whole basis of the idea of chinuch anyway. On a daraisa level, a kid is only chayev in mitzvahs when they become bar or bas mitzvah. The whole concept is basically on a daraisa level, there's no concept of chinuch. In principle, a kid could wake up on their 12th or 13th birthday, and now they have to keep mitzvahs, and they have no idea what to do because they never did them before. So in the Rabbanan, there's the concept of chinuch that you prepare them for that. So therefore, by the same token, in other words, Hilmi is not necessarily required alfi alocha to the mechanic her kids being their mother, but maybe she did it anyway because the fact is she knows they're going to eventually become adults, and they're going to have to keep mitzvahs, and therefore she needs to prepare them for that. Because there's a mitzvah of limad tamaisim asbneichem, there's a mitzvah to teach your children, but that's as far as teaching them Torah. As far as being mechanech them in mitzvahs, that's something else. The fact that we say, for example, that a child, once he's 5 or 6 years old, has to start sitting in a sukkah, or for example, once a kid is 3 years old, he has to start putting on tzitzis and all, that is midrabanan. Midaraisi, you can't say there's no chiyuv on a kid below bar or bas mitzvah. Would refer to after the bar or bas mitzvah. Okay, so we'll pause over here then, we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem. But the point is, now that we have that story of Hilni, now we're going to see which of the opinions before does it fit with. We said, again, before we talked about according to Rabbi Yoshia, if the walls reach all the way up to the schach, then it's fine for it to be higher than 20 amos, even according to the Chachamim. And then we talked about 7x7 or 4x4. So now we're going to see which of Hilni's sukkah, how was it constructed? Can we say that Hilni's sukkah is so tiny it would have been only 7x7 and therefore the Chachamim would have a problem with the height of it? So that's where we'll deal with that point tomorrow, and then we'll deal more with the question, Bechlal, why does it need to be 7x7? Why is it not enough 6x6? Why is it not enough for himself and his body and not his table? One thing also interesting to point out, I'll be Kabbalah. We're saying that the dimensions of the sukkah, the maximum according to the Chachamim, which is the halacha, is 20 amos. The minimum is 10 tefachim. The Zohar brings that the 20 represents keser. Chaf is the initial of the word keser. Yud represents malchus, the tenth of the 10 spheres. And therefore, the idea is, in other words, the sukkah has to be somewhere between those, between keser and malchus. Everyone.